Church says, you know, the book of Revelation is really, it's a great study if you just take your time and go through it. Amen? And not be afraid of it. So many Christians and pastors are afraid to teach this book. And yet, the Bible tells us very clearly that this is the revelation of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? The word revelation, apocalypse, means unveiling or uncovering. So in these verses, verses 6 and following, we're going to look at the final unveiling. And not only that, this morning, whether you believe it or not, know it or not, this morning, as I read and teach this book, remember what it says in chapter 1, verse 3, that we are pronounced with a threefold blessing to those who hear and keep the words of the prophecy of this book. Amen? So we're being blessed right now because we've opened to the 22nd chapter. I don't know if you can do that on an app or not, but you can in a real Bible. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we've come full circle. What began in Genesis, the fall, now we've come to the book of Revelation, which restores all things. Amen? And so here, remember last Sunday, chapter, 21, verse 5. What did the Lord say? Behold, I make all things what? All things are new, loved one. So we have had the privilege of gazing, if you will, a limited gaze, into eternity. We have studied out the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the eternal home for believers. And as Dr. McLaren, great expositor of the Bible, he said this. He says, we've now come to the farthest point which mortal eyes are allowed to see. What a word is that? Now, I want to set this up this morning because these last verses are deep. They are profound. And loved one, they are so needed to be understood. Seven times, and I want you to follow in your Bible with me, seven times beginning in verse 7, I want you to notice something. Seven times, the Word of God says this. It says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of what? Say it again. Verse 9, it says, oh, your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of what? This book. Worship God. Verse 10, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 18, it says, hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and God will add to the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, if anyone takes away the words of the book, of this prophecy, meaning this book, God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city, from the things that are written in. Now, the title of the sermon this morning is what? This book. Boy, you guys, you've got it together beginning in verse 6. It says this about John. Now, this is after the, we've seen in verses 1 through 5, you know, the pure river of life and the Lamb being the light in heaven and so forth. It says, then he, meaning the angel, said to me, meaning John. That was after, again, verses 1 through 5. These words are faithful and true. What is he saying? He is saying to John that all 22 chapters, every word in 22 chapters in this book is true and faithful. Amen? They are faithful words, loved one. They are living words. They are true words. Now, listen carefully. I'm not defending the book of Revelation right now. I'm teaching it. However, man, this book should never be reduced to just a book of symbols, okay? In other words, everything is symbolic. Everything is an allegory. Everything is spiritualized. That's not what this book teaches at all. Listen, the Word of God, God's Word was given for us to understand, not to be confused about. Okay? And do we have the Spirit of truth living in us? And it's his desire to always lead us into all truth that is found in God's Word. And Revelation, as I've said so many times, is such a neglected book. And actually, I say this not because I'm teaching it, but you that are here and have sat through the study, for the last 11 months, you're some of the most privileged people in Christianity because so few people have ever heard a teaching on Revelation or Christians in the church today. And so, boy, to be able to go through that. And that's not the believer's fault. It's actually the pastor's fault or the pulpit's fault, okay? And so look at verse 6 again, the latter part. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants, what? The things which must shortly take place. So again, this book, the book of Revelation, it wasn't written to confuse us. It wasn't written to scare us. It was written, it says, if you hear it, you're blessed. Amen. So it wasn't written to confuse us, but it was written to reveal the things which shortly, it says, must take place shortly or come to pass. Now, the word shortly there in the Bible, it really means a quick work, but that can be a little confusing. So the events, yes, will soon come to pass, but the word shortly there, it doesn't mean that what's coming to pass is going to occur immediately, but when it does happen, it's going to be rapid in succession. In other words, suddenly, it's going to be moving, and we have witnessed that as we've studied this book. Amen? Now, verse 7, behold, Jesus says, this is the Lord. He just kind of interrupts and he wants everyone to get this. Behold, I'm coming what? Quickly. And here comes the sixth of the seventh Beatitudes found in the book of Revelation. I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps, that word means guards, who guards the words, or we could say the faithful and true words of the prophecy of what? This book. Now listen, not just any book, this book, the only book in all of mankind, all of the world, that gives the true and faithful preview of things future. No other book in the world can do that. Only the book that we have right here. So Jesus said, behold, look at it, I'm coming quickly. That's not speaking of speed, if you will, but he says, I'm coming soon. And when I come, he's saying, it's going to be sudden. We need to be ready. This is an urgent cry from our Lord. So the warning here is not the second coming at the very end of the book of Revelation. The warning is the rapture of the church. And if any person who is honest and studies just a light, just a general study of the New Testament, there is absolutely no way they can come away thinking that the early church did not believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ our Lord, which would be the rapture. Amen? So we believe that it could happen at any time. And Jesus, it says his words are faithful and true. And how neglected this incredible book. And yet, do you know that the book of Revelation contains more blessings to the believer than any book in the entire Bible? Isn't that amazing? And not only that, Jesus said, look what he said, blessed is he who keeps or guards the words of the prophecy of this book. Now listen, when prophecy is truly understood and believed, it has a profound effect upon the Christian, upon the believer loved one. And so listen, you know, God is not calling us to be like a prophecy buff. You know, we've got all the events lined out. That's not what God's calling us to do. Prophecy should have an effect upon each of us. And for anyone to sit through all of the studies in the book of Revelation, this book, and learn about the horrors of the Great Tribulation, the things that are coming upon this planet, the darkest time in the history of mankind, and remain indifferent or apathetic, oh man, about warning and winning the lost, would you say that person may have a problem? Come on. True word, loved one. Look at verse 8 now. Now I, John, saw, or he could really, you could read it. Now, John, I am the one who saw and heard these things. And when I heard and I saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant. Remember angels, what are they? To the believer, what is it? Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? That is us. It says, so I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets. Now here it comes. And of those who guard or keep the words of what? This book, Revelation. Man, and he says, worship God. So for the second time, the apostle of love, John's a great man of God. He just is so overwhelmed. And you know what? He fell down, yes, and he was worshiping. But he knows better than to worship angels. Amen? No, listen. The Apostle John, loved one, has now recorded more information than any person ever born on earth. Think of that. Would you be overwhelmed? Listen, all that he had saw, all that he heard. And yes, the angel said, he commands, it's an imperative in Greek. He says, worship God, meaning in everything that you do, in all acts that you do, worship God and only God. Amen? We don't worship men. We don't worship angels. We don't worship saints. We worship God. Amen? Now, look at verse 10. And he said to me, the angel said to John, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Why? Well, he says, for the time is at hand. Now, God wants us to understand the entire Bible. But God specifically here wants us to understand this book of prophecy. And look what he says now. He said, it is not, don't you seal it. It is not a sealed book. And it's not a closed book. So what is the Holy Spirit doing here? He's saying, whatever you do, do not seal this book. Don't rob my people of the prophecies of this book. Do not rob them of the blessings that are found to those, like I just said in chapter 1, verse 3, those who hear the word of God and keep the word of God of this book, the prophecies and so forth. So this book is to be not only revealed, it is to be proclaimed. And listen, I say this in love, every pastor should teach the book of Revelation. And if they don't, I say this in love, I'm not judging them at all, but it's biblical what I'm about to say. If they don't, then they have not taught the whole counsel of God. They have not rightly divided the word of God, have they? No, they haven't done that, loved one. It is so important. So it says here, Jesus said, the angel said, listen, the time is at hand. Now, the word at hand means expectancy, okay? Or has come near. It's like this. It's hanging right over the church's head or over right over our head, and it's ready to happen at any moment. It just hasn't happened yet. It, like it says in 1 Peter 4:7, Peter writes, but the end of all things is at hand. There's that word again. Therefore, be serious or clear-minded and watchful or alert in your prayers. So the time is at hand. It's hanging over us right now. Jesus could come right this moment. Would that be cool? I'm in the book of Revelation. Surely I'm coming quickly. Zoom. Whew, that would be something. So what time is it right now? The time is near. Well, think about this. We have had the privilege, if you're old as I am, you've had the privilege of witnessing Israel after 2,000 years become a nation, the rebirth of a nation. That has never happened in the history of mankind. They were in over 70 countries of the world, and they did not lose their identity. And the Bible says that God would bring them back home, and he's still bringing them back home. Amen? And so there we are right now. I mean, we are living in chapter 2 of Daniel. In other words, at the very end, we are living right now in the remains of that last kingdom, the last superpower on earth. We are living in the remains of the revived Roman Empire. We've already studied that out. Amazing where we are right this minute. Look at verse 11. He says, now, since the time is at hand, look at this now. Very confusing scripture, by the way. He who is unjust, well, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. For he who is holy, let him be holy still. Now, what in the world is verse 11 saying? He's saying this. Since the time is near, since Jesus said, I am coming quickly, which means that when that happens, that the people in verse 11, well, it's too late. It's too late for the unrighteous to change. When Jesus comes, it's over with. Amen? Yes. So it would be too late. So whatever they are, might as well just stay that way because you can't change now. It's over with. The Lord has come. Now, look at verse 12. This is a personal promise from Jesus. Behold, here he repeats it, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to do what? To give to everyone according to his what? To his work. Okay, what the Christian has done in their life, their stewardship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, every Christian has a job to do. Amen? All of us, you know, you've heard me say, I talk about people say, I wish I was born back in the days of the Alamo, or I wish I was born, you know, when the cowboys and I don't know, whatever. Well, no, you weren't supposed to be born then. You couldn't handle it back then, okay? You're sissies. You could only handle it now. Does that make sense? Yeah, listen, I couldn't have made it back. No, I was born for this generation. Amen? You were born for this generation. Now, that's why it says in Ephesians 2:10 that you're God's masterpiece and that you have been created in Christ Jesus for good works before the world was ever formed. Amen? So you have things, specific good works that God has outlined for you to be doing. I would ask yourself, are you doing them? Because we're going to give an account for them if we don't. Does that make sense? Yes, and so that's very, very, very important, loved one. And so remember that all the judgments, the end time judgments, the sheep and goat judgment, the great white throne judgment, the Bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. The great white throne is only for unbelievers. The Bema seat of Christ is only for believers. But all of the judgments are based upon our works. Every one of them and every one of those judgments. No, we're not saved by works, but we are saved for works, aren't we? Now, let me give you a few scriptures. 2 John 8, John says, look to yourselves or take heed that we do not lose those things that we worked for. Not talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift. He's talking about our rewards at the Bema seat of Christ. He says, oh, that we've worked for, that we may receive a full reward. I want a full reward, don't you? Yes. Rewards are not our ideas. They're the Lord's ideas. Look, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat, the place of rewards, okay? And each one may receive the things done in his body, or done in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Mounts puts it this way. It is a quality of a man's life which provides the ultimate indication of what he really believes. That's a very good word. Now look at verse 13. Look what Jesus says now. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega, the last. In other words, Jesus is anything you need. Amen? He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He says, I am the beginning. That means I am the source of all things, and I'm the ending. I'm the goal, the consummation of all things as well. Everything belongs to him. I am the first and the last, the eternal one, in other words. Now the seventh beatitude. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Now, I don't know what translation you might have right now, but it may read, blessed are those who wash their robes, you see. And if you have that, that's okay, because that's probably a better translation. But either one is accurate for a believer, amen? So blessed are those who do his commandments, or those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they also may have the right to enter through the gates into the city of Jerusalem, the eternal home of the believers and so forth. So the right to enter, the only one way you're going to get in, and that's by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But watch this. But then there's a contrast. He says, but outside, meaning outside of the city of God forever in the lake of fire. He says, but outside are dogs. Now, some of you are already going, I told you, Bill, that dogs were in heaven. Well, dogs should be outside regardless, but that's not what this word means, okay? It means a horrible, immoral character. To the Jew, the dogs were scavengers. They weren't little pets. You know, they didn't name them. They didn't want to be around them, and they were horrible and so forth. And so they're just saying, this kind of person, they're like dogs, in other words. And he goes on, and he says, and where am I at? I'm looking. Oh, there it is. He says, dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's their lifestyle. In other words, they will never, ever be enter into the kingdom of God or the city of God. Now, look at verse 16. It says, I, Jesus, that's only here in the Bible, loved one, only here. I, Jesus, is so important. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to what? Okay, that means to bear witness, to testify to you. That means not to you is plural in the Greek. So not just the seven churches, not just the people in the Great Tribulation. Loved one, to the churches then and the churches today. Does that make sense? Okay, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify or bear witness to you. What? These things, the prophecies in this book, these things in the churches. There's that word, church. Interesting. That's the first mention, church, since the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Now, so this entire book of Revelation was delivered by the Lord to his angel and is for all the churches, okay? Every believer. And I want you to listen now. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, isn't he? Now listen to what he says. He just said, all that is written in this book, he testifies to it, all that is written in this book called Revelation is true and faithful, okay? It's the truth of God. And he uses, he backs it up. He gives two messianic titles, okay? And which were fulfilled, for example, he says, I am the root and the offspring of David. And then the second messianic title, he said, I am the bright and morning star. So the offspring of David. He's saying here, Jesus is saying, I'm your king. I brought David into this world. Amen. And I also am his ancestor because he is, remember Jesus, O son of David, remember? Now, so if you looked up Isaiah 11:1 and Numbers 24:17, you'd find where those two prophecies which are now fulfilled, okay? Now, look at verse 17. And the Spirit, is that a capital S in your Bible? Okay. And the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him now who hears say, come. And then let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely without any cost. The water of life is speaking of eternal life that only God can give. Amen? That endless life that was purchased because Jesus died on the cross for us. So the Holy Spirit here and the bride, which is the church, I love it because this is how it should be. The church is giving the Holy Spirit his rightful place. And whenever you give the Holy Spirit his rightful place, did he birth the church? Absolutely. And so, listen, that means they're in agreement. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? And there is nothing greater than the church being in agreement with God. Amen? It's his church, by the way. Now, so it says, let him who hears say come. So that invitation to everyone. And then that last invitation here, all who are thirsty, you can come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. He just says, come. Everyone is thirsty for something in this life. Amen. And you know, nothing will ever satisfy that thirst except our Lord, except being born again. So he says, just come. In other words, I could add and say, come before it's too late, because if you don't come to Christ, verse 15 will be your destiny, and we don't want verse 15. Amen? Those that are going to be in the lake of fire. Isaiah 1:18 put it this way. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I love that. God says, let's talk about it. Let's talk about all this. He says, oh, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Now listen, the Holy Spirit here and the bride, they both say, come or take. That is very, very important. Because when the Holy Spirit is speaking through the church, that means that a true New Testament church loved one is one that you will find God pleading through them to save the lost. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, that we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled. Jesus is the bridge to God. Amen? God the Father. He says, let me take your hand and put it in my Father's hand, and you can be saved that way. You know, Jesus told us in Mark 1:17, he says, behold, I will make you fishers of men. We're all fishers of men, aren't we? And so how important is this? So now the warning. The final command from Jesus. Watch this now, verse 18. For I, this is Jesus himself, okay? For I testify to everyone, no matter who they are, to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of what? This book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, meaning this book, God shall take away his part, from the book of life, take away his part from the holy city, take away his part from the things that are written in what? Seven times. Now, for Jesus to mention the book of life in the city of God, that means he's also then talking to everyone, but also to believers, isn't he? And I say, wow. So this warning addressed to all who hear, and it would also apply to all who read this book, okay? Now, so you might ask yourself, well, does that mean that a saved person can become a lost person? Because Jesus said his part in the holy city, his part in the book of life, and so forth. I want to comment on that. Now listen carefully. Any Christian, any true Christian who say they are saved and knowingly change God's word or subtract God's word, they can't be saved. They're not saved. Amen? See, no Christian, would a true Christian do that? No, you would never ever do that, loved one. Why? That's what the cults do. That's what false teachers do, loved one. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Every liberal pastor and teacher should carefully read verses 18 and 19. They really should. That should make every Christian too tremble. We don't change God's word. We don't subtract from God's word. God's word is God's word. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And listen to what it says. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Now, you probably don't remember how I opened the first chapter when we first started the book of Revelation, how I opened the first chapter of this book. And I made this statement that the book of Revelation has been attacked more than any other book in the Bible. Yet Revelation to me is one of the most remarkable, unbelievable books in all of the Bible. Amen. It's the only book of full prophecy in the New Testament. Now, with all of that being said, It has come under attack throughout the ages. I gave you in the first chapter, but let me just read it again. This is what Martin Luther said about the book of Revelation. He said, and Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, he said, no man can understand Revelation. And he said, I detest the book of Revelation, saying this, it is theologically inadequate. Zwingli, who was the leader of the Reformation in Switzerland, here's what he said. He said, the book of Revelation, it's not even a biblical book. Oh, I tell you. How about this one? Remember the letter I read from the local pastor that was here in our city? Here's what he said about the book of Revelation. He said, I'm exasperated. There is just so much Christian silliness today. We've got this script for a Star Wars movie tacked on to the end of our Bibles. Oh, preachers, it's a problem. I know most of you feel you have to defend Revelation and of its flights of fancy. Yes, it's in the Bible. It is certainly historically important, but it is theologically hokum. You know what hokum means? Nonsense. In other words, it's rubbish. It's garbage. So he says, it's dead. It's a dead gospel. It weighs down the gospel. If you mix this nonsense, meaning the book of Revelation, if you mix this nonsense with the gospel, it pulls the gospel down. Stop defending it. Stop blending two things into one. The Jesus who told you to love our enemies is not the same Jesus who cuts off the heads of his enemies with the sword. Here it comes. Revelation has nothing to do with the teaching of Jesus or the future history of the world. I guess that's why we call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hello? No. It's time to be honest, both to God and about God. Give people Jesus. Well, that's what I do. But you're not. You follow me? Kelly put it this way, the Christian message is not something which the church's minister works out for himself or is entitled to add to. It is a divine revelation which has been committed to his care and to your care, I might add, and it's this which is his duty to pass on unimpaired to others. Boy, I'm telling you, that's exactly a true word, but it's also a true word for each of you, all of us, loved one. Remember Paul the Apostle, what he told Timothy, his beloved son, in 1 Timothy 6:20? He says, oh, Timothy, that oh in the Greek is filled with heartfelt emotion. He says, oh, Timothy, here it comes, guard what was committed to your trust. That word trust means deposit. What was deposited to Timothy? You know what it was? It is the body of truth. It is God's word. It is this entire book. Amen? And it's been committed to us as well. Listen, every generation, we must have pastors who not only love the truth and teach the truth, but they guard the truth. They don't water it down. They speak the truth in love, and they rightly divide the word. Every pastor, every church, every Christian loved one, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to guard the truth of God. Amen? Because we're preserving it for the next generation. Boy, and you can see how the word of God is not very guarded today, is it? No, not at all. Listen, we have to hand down the word, the truth to the next generation. And we have a problem today where people, they measure the church success by maybe its size, okay? Or how many ministry it has, or how great is its worship and so forth, and how fascinating the pastor is. And, well, I am fascinating. You know? No. The most important measure of any church is how does it teach the Word of God? Does it teach the whole counsel of God? Amen? That's what's important. Now look at verse 20. Jesus is speaking now, okay? He who testifies to these things says, now here comes the Lord, for the third time, "Surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." So now this is the last promise in the book of Revelation. It's also the last recorded words to the church of Jesus Christ our Lord. "Surely I'm coming quickly." Now, it's been a long time. It's been 2,000 years. He hasn't come back yet. You know? Is he lying? No. Hebrews 6:18, Titus 1:2. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. He's coming. And now we just don't know when, but boy, he is coming. And the last recorded prayer, John says, "Amen. Even so," he's talking to the Lord, "even so, come, Lord Jesus," or "Maranatha." You've heard us say that. "Maranatha." Jesus said in Mark 13:35, he says, "Watch," meaning be ready, expectant. "Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, midnight, crowing of the rooster in the morning, or lest he come suddenly, find you sleeping." And Jesus says, "And what I say to you, I say to everyone," or to all, he says, "Watch." And then he says this in verse 21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." To all those that love the Lord, to all those that serve the Lord, to all those that are longing for his return, the grace of God. I'll tell you something. Now listen, the undeserved, unmerited, unearned, divine favor of the living God. Is there anything greater than having that? No, loved one, listen. But here's what I want you to see. Remember, as we have gone through all the book of Revelation, remember the incredible grace of God that was found in the book of Revelation? How about the two witnesses preaching the everlasting gospel? How about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that went all over the world, and tribulation believers or people in the tribulation were saved? Or how about, what was it, Revelation 14, I don't know, 6, 14, 9? It's where the angel in the midst of heaven, he was flying around the whole earth in the midst of, not in heaven, in the atmosphere. And he was preaching the everlasting gospel to every tongue and every tribe on those who dwell on the earth. Do you think God wants people saved? Absolutely, the incredible grace of God. So now, the book of Revelation, it closes its record. That means that the canon is closed, okay? And that means that there are no more written instructions from heaven. No other more books. You follow me? This is it. Not the Book of Mormon. No. This is it. The canon is closed. Now, here's what I want you to see this morning on this short message, okay? And you know, it was actually yesterday afternoon when the Lord, I saw this, because I kept going, "Lord," I had already put the title out there, you know, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to call it this, that, but," you know, and then I just said, "That's not right." And I went over and over and over, read it over and over. So what am I missing? Well, loved one, let me tell you, the Lord showed me again how important this book is. And I love it when, like I've told you, this is the fourth time in 34, 35 years now to teach through this book. And I want to grow each time. And if you look at the old sermon, you can say, "Boy, Bill, that was horrible." I say, "Yeah, it was." You know, so you grow, okay? But I love it when I get a nugget. Does that make sense? Oh, it blesses me. And that's what happened. So here's how important is this book. Well, number one, did Jesus say that everything in this book is faithful and true? Yes. Seven times. Now listen, seven times from verse 6 and following, seven times this book is mentioned. Man, seven times. Seven is God's favorite number, isn't it? But did you notice that three times in 6 through the end of to verse 21, only three times, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Now, they're both important, major important. But why would the Lord say this book seven times? I'll tell you why. This is a perfect, perfect example of Psalm 138, verse 2. Let me read it to you. David said, I will worship toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. Here it comes. For you have magnified, you have exalted your word above all your name. What does that mean? It means that God has a greater reward for his words that come from his mouth, meaning this book and the book of Revelation, than the work of his hands. Jesus said, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Amen? Think about that. In other words, God says, all that I am, my name, everything that Jehovah Jireh, all the rest of it, Jehovah Shalom, all the names of God, everything I am, God says, my word, I exalted above me. Seven times it said this book. Oh, the warnings that come from it. You know, in every Bible that I have, I have in the very first page, whatever, I have a saying that's in there, and I forget who I got it from. I'm sure it was some Puritan. But it says, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. Amen? That should be in your Bibles. You can't put that on an app. I don't know. I'm not picking on apps. I'm just saying. Listen, I pulled out my old, and I think I can read it without my readers. I don't think I can. This was my old teaching Bible, okay? This is about 50 years ago. 47 years ago, I think. Listen carefully. This is from an anonymous person. I've read this to you over the years before. This book, the Bible, this book contains the word of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are truth. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored. Heaven is open. The gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given in life, will be opened at the judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will restore the great, require the greatest labor, and condemns all who will trifle with its sacred contents. That is a glorious word. Amen. Listen, this last part of the Bible is so vital and so important. Jesus used only one word, loved one, to describe the most horrific event, the darkest time in the history of mankind. Only one verse, Matthew 24:21, and he said this about the great tribulation period. He says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, that shall never, ever be. The Bible says in Luke 21:26, that it's going to be so bad that men's hearts are going to literally fail them for fear. In other words, they're going to die of fright, the things that are coming upon this planet. This book tells us the only way to escape the wrath of God that's coming. His name is Jesus. Amen. And it also means you have to be in the right church. As we studied out the seven churches of Revelation, there are only two churches on planet Earth today. You're either in the church of Laodicea, which is the false apostate church, or you're in the church of Philadelphia. The church at Philadelphia is the faithful church, okay? No matter what denomination, if you're the faithful, okay. Now, he made that promise. Jesus made only one promise to the seven churches, but only one of the seven, and that was the church at Philadelphia. And it's Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. He promised, let me just read it. Where's it at, Bill? There it is. It says this. In Revelation 3:10, Jesus said, I will keep you from, everyone say from. That is ek in the Greek. It means I will keep you out of, not sustained through. I will keep you totally out of the hour of trial. That is a 7-year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. The hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. The preterists get upset reading that verse because it's not global. They think everything was, or local rather. This is global, not local. It's the whole world, loved one. And here's the purpose: to test those who dwell on the earth. Those earth dwellers, that one is mentioned 10 times in the book of Revelation. It always is about the unbelievers, okay? So that promise is we're not going to go through it. That's why we are raptured out of here, amen? We are saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we are to wait for his son from heaven. And by the way, waiting implies working. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us or rescues us from, there's that word again, ek, not through, not sustained through, but out of the tribulation and the wrath that is coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not, that's emphatic in the Greek, okay? He did not in any way appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You know, this book tells us the future, the things that are coming upon this planet. It tells us that we're living in the last days. It tells us that we're living in the age of grace when anyone can call upon the Lord, man, and be saved. Think about that. And it's also, we know that Jesus is going to come for us. So here's the deal. He who has an ear to hear, boy, let him hear. This book is so important because it gives us the last recorded words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to his church. Here it is. Surely I am coming quickly. He is coming. And I'm going to tell you, we want to keep our hearts fixed on that, the soon return of Christ. Be expectant. And you say, well, you know, what happens is people say, well, you know, I don't know. It's a promise of his coming, like it says in Peter, remember? Well, you know why he's delaying? Because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel and receive Christ Jesus, amen? So with all that being said, I don't know in this early service. I don't know if you don't know the Lord. Well, you know what? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Think about that. Eternal life, sins totally forgiven. There's something about being a new creation. You know, there's something about old things passing away and all things becoming new. There's something about blinded eyes, meaning blinded spiritually, being opened, and you go, oh, Lord, I got it. You see, being born again is not only a new beginning. Being born again is a brand new day, a brand new start. Everything changes. You mean when I come to Jesus, all my troubles are over? No, that's when they all began. That's when you're going to be hated. This is when, now you're going to really know what spiritual warfare is. Now you're going to know the devil really hates you. So if that's you, you don't know Christ, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If that's you, this is your opportunity to come to Christ right now, today. Say, Bill, how? Just lift your hand up and then put it right back down. You don't have to come down to the altar. If that's you, you say, I want Christ. I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. This is your call right now. If I don't see a hand, I'm just going to go about my day and praise the Lord. I have fed, and now I'm fishing. Last call, do I see any hands at all? Any hands? I don't see any hands. So, Father, did I see a hand back there? Did anyone back there raise your hand? I guess I didn't. So now, Lord, I'm seeing things. So thank you for this last study in the book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, for I just give you praise for the privilege of teaching it again. And I can honestly say that there's things in here that are hard to bear, but I give you praise that we've gone through it and that, Lord, you're always with us. So, Father, now as we finish the New Testament again, I guess it's time to start all over again. Now, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The Lord bless you. And we're going to sing to the Lord. As you know, if you're visiting with us for the very first time in the main lobby, there is the visitor center. And if you need prayer, there are people there in the prayer room in the main lobby. They would love to pray with you about any need that you may have. If you're ill, then go back there, call for the elders. Let them anoint you with oil, whatever is needed. Amen. So we're going to sing to the Lord. Is somebody saying something? No? I thought I heard my name. I must be in a lot of trouble. Now I'm hearing things and I'm seeing things. Isn't God good? Yes. All right, let's sing to the Lord. God.